The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM channel 80. Lakers fans, I've got the tweet you need to make to repeat. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Aaron Rodgers finally addressed his beef with the Packers. Rodgers on Kenny Mayne's last SportsCenter. I'll tell you what, Kenny Mayne, I just got to say this before we go on. I have been on and off with ESPN, mostly on at this point, actually, since 98. Took a while to graduate college. Lots of people take 7 years to graduate college. Yeah, they're called doctors, Tommy boy. But right out of college, I was boxing analyst on Friday Night Fights in 98. I was 25 years old. And Kenny Mayne was already there and already like as good as anyone who ever lived at the job. And he's been great the whole time. And I love bumping into Kenny in the hallways and shooting the breeze. And he will be missed at ESPN for sure. At any rate, Aaron Rodgers, you can kind of see like, it's almost Kenny Mayne, his last sports is like a litmus test. How cool are these dudes, right? Rodgers shows up. You know, that says all the right things about Rodgers. And he addressed his beef with the Packers, and we're going to get into it. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Okay, so what Aaron Rodgers said, you know what? I'll just tell you generally. He said it was about philosophy and not about Jordan Love, but you can hear it from straight from the horse's mouth. Here is, I would say, the goat's mouth, but I think you got to beat Tom Brady in the playoffs first. Aaron Rodgers, Packers quarterback, in case you weren't aware, on SportsCenter with Kenny Mayne, the final one, last night about on what this is all about between him and the Packers. Listen.
Never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. He a lot of fun to work together. I love coaching staff, love my teammates, you know, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible, incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. A lot of this was put in motion last year. The wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year. So this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing.
Not about Jordan Love. This is really about Gutekunst, right? Well, let me tell you something. If I'm Gutekunst, the Packers GM, I'm showing up to Aaron Rodgers' house, ding dong, right? Ring the bell. And in one hand, I have my hat, and in the other hand, I have a contract guaranteeing him more money than anyone's ever been guaranteed in the history of the NFL. And when he opens the door, I eat my hat and I hand him the contract. That's what Gutekunst has to do. Gutekunst is a good GM. He is a good GM. Look at the team they built around him. It's very, like, if you took all quarterbacks off all teams and just looked at the strength of the rest of the roster, Packers would be elite, right? You say, well, a lot of that's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, a lot of the best teams. Of course, you take the quarterback off, they're not so good. Packers would be top half dozen. It's pretty good. And they got rid of Mike McCarthy. The game seemed to have passed them by. They brought in Matt LaFleur, who year one, before Rodgers even knew what he was doing in the system, won 13 games and a playoff game. Year two, once again, in the NFC Championship game with chances to win, only this time, Rodgers had a season 48 TDs, 5 interceptions. Yeah, but he never got him any weapons on offense. Well, one of the things about in a hard cap league about having one of the greatest players to ever do it at quarterback is that you're able to divert resources to other areas because the quarterback can elevate the offense. And it's not like he didn't have Devontae Adams and Adam Jones. He had real weapons on offense. Little thin at receiver. They could use a little depth at receiver. That's a minor quibble. All teams could use something. At any rate, Gutekunst is a good GM, even a very good GM, but not a great one, or he wouldn't be having this problem with Rodgers. And Rodgers is one of the greatest to ever do it. So scarcity says, like, you know, just what's harder to get? Rodgers is harder to get. Would I kick the GM to the curb if it meant keeping Rodgers? Hell yeah. But here's the thing. I don't think you have to. I know Rodgers thinks that maybe. Can Gutekunst show real humility? He must humble himself. Come out and do the Happy Gilmore to Chubbs, right? You're right, I'm wrong. You're smart, I'm stupid. You're very good looking, I'm not very attractive, right? Can he do the Happy Gilmore? That's what it takes. I understand what Gutekunst was thinking these last several years. You know, this is the way teams do it. It's the way the Packers did it. See you later, Brett Favre. We got Aaron Rodgers waiting in the wings. It's the way the Niners did it. See you later, Joe Montana. We have Steve Young waiting in the wings. It's the way the Colts did it. See you later, Peyton Manning. We have Andrew Luck waiting in the wings. It's pretty gangster. See you later, Tom freaking Brady, because we got Jimmy G waiting in the wings. That's how it's done. And the NFL is very much like, this is not for the players to dictate. The team will dictate. And Gutekunst comes for, like, you know, these things are changing. As I say this, the landscape is shifting. The ground under these GM's feet is shifting. They have to get used to the new normal, the new reality. So Gutekunst has to come out and say publicly, look, there was a certain way of doing things. That's the school I come from, where you treat players like commodities. And it was just the most efficient way to do it. And I like to win. And, you know, that's how you won. But I can see we're dealing in a new reality. I can see I can't treat the players like commodities, certainly not a player of Aaron Rodgers' stature. And that whatever I may think personally about it, it was a strategic or tactical error on my part. And if Aaron Rodgers says the culture and the people are what's important, I have to take that very seriously. And if Aaron Rodgers might say, why do you have to learn how to treat people with respect? Okay, I hear you. I'll listen to that too. I want to do whatever it takes to keep this guy right now. I messed up. Please forgive me. Humble yourself, Gutekunst. Show real humility. And I believe you could keep him. But Keyshawn Johnson, Keyshawn J. Will and Zubin, does not agree with me that, listen, would I always take a quarterback over a GM? No. But I would take one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, who still has a lot of football left in him, over a merely good GM. But maybe Keyshawn wouldn't. Listen to Key on the Packers prioritizing Rodgers. Terrible word. The Packers making Rodgers a priority over their GM. Listen to Key.
Aaron Rodgers may be right, but to go and get rid of a guy who's a general manager to bring Aaron Rodgers back to make him happy, now Aaron Rodgers is put in a position where everybody's looking at him funny, side-eye. What if it doesn't work? What if they go back? Let's say they win the division and they lose again in the second round. And they don't get, or they lose again in the NFC Championship game. Now Aaron Rodgers, you're the bad guy. You got rid of the general manager. So it's like the best thing for me, if I'm the general manager along with the president of the team and whoever else is in charge, I'm trying to get the most value I could possibly get for Aaron Rodgers, and I've now got to just move on. Because Aaron Rodgers, if he doesn't want to be in the building, I'm not getting rid of my general manager.
Well, right. If he doesn't want to be in the building, Key's right. If he doesn't want to be in the building, Key is right. And that's why people are like, well, is Rodgers willing to sit out? It will never come to that. Because you cannot win a Super Bowl with a quarterback going through the motions. The quarterback has to be all in. If he ain't all in, you ain't winning no Super Bowl. And this team is set up to win a Super Bowl right now. They're knocking on the door right now. Have the last couple of years. And they're getting better and better every year. So, Rodgers will dictate where he goes. Chris Canty brought this up. He's manipulating the situation the way he manipulates Rodgers' defenses with his eyes, right? The Packers were sending the message. That's why Rodgers somehow, it's a beautiful mystery, my future. The teams dictate that stuff. The Packers were sending the message. The end of your tenure with us will be decided by us. And Rodgers said, nope, I'm going to decide how I go out. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I'm coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Scott in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Yeah, hey, man. Thanks for having me. I hope everyone's safe. I'm just coming back from University of Florida, Gainesville, going back South Florida, a.k.a. Title Town, a.k.a. the Jacksonville Jaguars, minor league team. That's U.S. But it doesn't matter where Aaron Rodgers goes because Tampa Bay has Tom Brady, and they have a roster of, like, all these guys. Last year you were getting points with Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. You wake up and slap your face and say, how can I bet him with this amazing roster? Of course, in hindsight, you didn't know that, but it just doesn't matter. Bucks are winning next year.
Well, I do think it matters. Let me tell you why. I do think it matters. The Bucks got lucky in the sense that they came into the Super Bowl almost all healthy. That was not totally, but healthy. And you're right to point out the roster because they have enough depth that, oh, that's a real good tight end. He's hurt. That's all right. We got a couple other guys, maybe even better. So it is a roster issue in terms of depth. But anyone losing both starting tackles, Rodgers came in with a compromised offensive line, and obviously Mahomes, three offensive linemen out, both his starting tackles, who were the best offensive linemen, right? He's running for his life the whole time. So Rodgers on the Packers, if they don't get hurt, maybe beats Brady last year. Maybe. Maybe you're right to point out the rosters. Well, they don't have the depth that like the Bucs have, so they're less able to kind of deal with an injury. But every year is different. And when I look around, Rodgers on the Packers, Rodgers on the Niners. I mean, he would never go to the Browns, you'd think. But if he went to the Browns, a place like that, I'd make them Super Bowl favorites if he went to the Browns. Rodgers in Miami, ooh, look out. I do think it matters. I think if the Chiefs, to see how they rebuilt the line, look at the left side of the Chiefs line. The Chiefs and the Jets did an amazing job. The difference is Chiefs ready to win a Super Bowl right now. They revamped the offensive line the way they revamped their defense after coming up a little short in Mahomes' first full season as a starter. They revamped the defense, win the Super Bowl. Then they come up a little short again because of the offensive line. They revamped the offensive line. They could easily win the Super Bowl. No, I think if anything, Tom Brady shouldn't discourage Aaron Rodgers. I think he's the example that emboldens a guy like Rodgers to say, look at that. Even Tom Brady with Belichick, he wasn't getting the respect he wanted. He wanted to call some shots. He goes to Tampa. They make him happy, give him what he needs. I mean, you would think a quarterback knows what he needs. He's got to be pretty smart and understand the game at the football IQ of a Brady or a Rodgers. And they listen to him. And by the way, the coach held him accountable. It doesn't mean that you just roll the organization. Arians put Brady on blast in the media a couple times, but he also supported him. Remember when Arians got Brady's back against Chicago? First, he got on him early against the Saints. It's like, oh, look at that. Arians is there a problem here? No, he was just holding him accountable, showing the team. And then when everyone was getting on Brady in Chicago for having, he thought it was third down, it was fourth down, Arians had his back. He knew what buttons to press. Who says that Rodgers can't find the same thing? Maybe even in Green Bay, if that organization will humble themselves to Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that's a problem. I think it could work. Meantime, speaking of humility, which I know all about, perhaps no one, Raj, knows more about humility than I.
Oh, I agree. You're the best.
You see that?
That's why. Because you're the best.
Yes. Listen, Lakers Suns. Here's the question, Raj. Ready for this? It's very clever. The double entendre. Is Anthony Davis the center of the problem? Look, the point is this. AD was hitting from the outside at maybe an unsustainable clip for him. It was like 38% from three throughout the playoffs last year. Doesn't mean in every series. He was like 33%. One series, 40-something percent. Another, but it was averaged out to 33% for the playoffs. That's not normal for him. I don't know if it's repeatable for him. Maybe it is. But I do know this. When he plays the five as opposed to the four, team's better. Spacing is better. Listen to these stats. The 2019-20 regular season, Davis at the four is a plus 5.2. At the five is a plus 5.8. In the postseason of the same year, when they went all the way, Davis at the four, the Lakers were plus 8.3 points. Davis at the five, they were plus 15.8 points. And in the regular season this year, and he missed a lot of time, but Davis at the four, they're plus almost 5, plus 4.9 points a game. At the five, almost 17, plus 16.9 points per game. Anthony Davis, and by the way, they played him a lot in the playoffs. The most he's played at the five, was 60% of the time, was in the 19-20 postseason. And when were they most successful? 40% of the time in the regular season last year. Only 10% of the time in the regular season this year. When were the Lakers most successful? They were seventh seed this year. They were most successful during their gentleman sweep of the West, followed by a 6-2 win in the finals over the Heat. 60% of the time Davis played the five, and they were a plus almost 16. They function better with him there. Andre Drummond should be used. Like you're going to play Davis. You want to give Davis at least 30 minutes, right? Even if you want to preserve his health. But like at least 25 of them should come at the five. And then you can move him over to the four to get Drummond in there. But really, Drummond should soak up the center minutes that Anthony Davis doesn't take. There's another 23 minutes a game. If you play a guy 25 minutes at the five, there's 23 minutes left at the five throughout the game. You throw Drummond in there. That's a hell of a backup. And you can even give Drummond more time at the five without just AD being, you know, like getting some rest on the bench. Because then you could move AD to the four. It's not like you could never play him there. But maybe that's what the Lakers should be doing. Because let me tell you something. Charles Barkley's right. Right now, no one's scared of the Lakers. But that's because what we've seen recently. All it's going to take is LeBron to look like LeBron, AD to hit some shots from the outside, and also not get muscled by DeAndre Ayton. AD does his thing. And someone like KCP gets hot from the outside. Oh, believe me. Two games like that, and all of a sudden the whole Western Conference will be shaking in their boots. Why do you think the rumor was, or at least in the press, one of the angles was, it was unavoidable. The fans were thinking it. The press was thinking it. I'm sure some players were thinking it. Did Ty Lue want to avoid the Lakers in the first round? Think about that. Look at that Clippers squad. And how many guys they got. Not just Kawhi and Paul George. Got Rondo and Beverly. And everywhere you look, there's a guy with playoff experience, if not championships. Morris and guys who can shoot, guys with size, guys who can play defense, guys who can initiate the offense. And yet it seemed credible to people. At least they were wondering, do they want to maybe miss the Lakers in the first round? Oh, the Lakers would be feared. By the way, those numbers I went over about the plus minus and the percentage of time at the position is via the Ringer. Here's the question. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Here's the question. A question. Can the Clippers afford to go down 0-2 against the Mavs? You got home court. You're going to go down 0-2 against a team that had your number, unless they didn't have Porzingis last year, because they have him right now. Who do I always like? Same thing I talk about on Phoenix a lot. Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges, the 3-and-D guys who actually can defend and actually can hit the three, not just by reputation, but indeed, in fact, can do it. Don't need the ball to be effective, but are effective with it. Can switch and defend and all. Listen, same thing with Dallas. When Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleba are going good and they have Porzingis on the court, that is a very tough team to beat. Hardaway. I'm like, everyone knows Doncic, but Hardaway and Porzingis. And I just mentioned Finney-Smith and Kleba. They have size, length. They can shoot. They can defend. In Finney-Smith's case, multiple positions. Tough for the Clippers. You go down 0-2 at home. Now you got to go on the road to a team that seems to have your number. Could you imagine, Lakers fans? Could you imagine if the Clippers get knocked out in the first round? They don't even get to their normal second round exit. They don't even get to hang another first round banner. You know, the Clippers have a lot of first round banners hung in Staples. Never been to a conference finals. But they hang those first round banners. Lakers fans, could you imagine that Kawhi Leonard made the mortgage the future for Paul George if they get bounced in the first round after getting bounced in the second round last year? And they were lucky not to get bounced in the first by this Dallas team last year. Could you imagine if Kawhi opts out, because he can, and goes to, say, Miami to play for Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra? Every time it looks like the Clippers' window is open, the Lakers leave it a little bit open, or it's just they open it themselves, the Clippers do. Oh, the Lakers are in the doldrums, and Kobe's at the end, and no free agents will sign, and the Clippers get, and the league refuses to let the Lakers trade for Chris Paul, and they gift wrap him and send him to the Clippers, and it's Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, all the young superstar, and DeAndre Jordan, it's Lob City, and second round exit, at best. And now it's Kawhi refusing to join LeBron, he brings Paul George with him, and they won 48 games without those guys the year before, and that's it, the window shuts. And once again, the Lakers are sitting with championships. Could you imagine? See, this is the difference between L.A. and New York. The Nets put together a big three. They're going to take New York from the Knicks because what have the Knicks ever done? The Lakers have so much equity built in with the fans because they've delivered time and time again. It's bad enough, you know, that you're the Clippers. But if the Lakers leave the window open, as they did in the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin era, or if you open the window yourself and you can't climb through if you're the Clippers, it's comedy. Take a quick call. Who's on the... Let me take a, no time for a quick call, Raj? I'm going to take a quick call.
No.
You take a quick call on the other side. 729-3776. They won't even show me the caller. I would just say the name and put him on. And let alone if I had a button here. Oh, Raj and Brendan would rue the day.
When you learn how to act, you can do things like this.
How
but there's
you?
No way you can take this
COVID
call quickly,
days.
Not take 2 minutes to
you
respond
these producers nowadays?
Instead of teasing it.
Lack of
yeah,
respect.
That's right.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Can this version of the Bucks go to the finals? Time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning. Good. All right, maybe not that good, but pretty good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month. Up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Can these Bucks get by the Nets? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
KJC.
But I don't believe that Aaron Rodgers will not play football this season. I believe he will play. It just won't be in Green Bay.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin tomorrow morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Our final tonight, your Milwaukee Bucks 132 and the Miami Heat 98.
You had Giannis saying don't let the foot off the gas. You know, at that point, you know, we just felt like we had to lock in, felt like we had an advantage and never wanted to give that up.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. And all I got to tell you before I go on is a little later in this show, you know, I got to credit WTMJ for the sound we just played. I have sometimes, like there's a way you do radio, right? And conventionally you're always supposed to tell the audience, like, wait till you hear what we have coming up. I'm going to reveal the secrets of the universe to you. And that's supposed to keep you listening. My issue is if, you know, you tell people you're going to reveal the secrets of the universe, basically going into every commercial break, eventually they find out, no, you actually haven't done that. And then you lose credibility. So I here and there do that kind of thing. If I think I have something really good. But I can tell you this. I'm going to tell you something later in this show that it shocks me that it's coming out of my mouth. That it literally may be the most important thing that has ever happened in human history. Literally. And that I cannot believe more people aren't talking about. And it contradicts a position I took maybe 2 weeks ago. Okay? It's going to change your entire universe, potentially. All right? How's that? You like that for a tease? And I'm going to deliver on that. It's not just going to be Giannis needs better handles. No, it's not going to be that. Although he does. The Bucks roster got what it takes. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Everyone talks about Giannis's shot. If Giannis has great handles for a center, for a big. But for a wing, not really, right? If Giannis' handles were a little better and his shot was a little better, he could wind up the greatest player of all time because he's unstoppable. He'd be like Shaq meets Jordan. But as it is, he's just a big who can get dressed up as a wing sometimes. And what do I always say? A big needs a crime partner. A big needs a crime partner. He can't do it by himself. Kareem got one with Oscar and five with Magic and none without him. Shaq got one with D-Wade and three with Kobe and none without him. A big needs a crime partner. Did Giannis get one? I mean, they gave him a couple. They gave him Drew Holiday. He has Chris Middleton. But as I said on First Take the other day, you know, like Shaq had Rick Fox. Rick Fox, real good player. Real good two-way player. He didn't always score a lot because he's a team player. He does what the team needs. But like Middleton, is Middleton better than Rick Fox? If he is, he's marginally better. No, no, he ain't Kobe. Shaq needs Kobe to win chips. Does Giannis have that? I mean, Bryn Forbes shot the lights out yesterday. Does he make you believe that Giannis can get by the Brooklyn Nets? Milwaukee's 10 three-pointers yesterday in the first quarter matched an NBA record for the most in the first quarter. They had a 26-point lead after the first period, which matched the largest in postseason history. They won 132-98. That's as big of a blowout as you want to see. Took a 2-0 series lead. By the way, Giannis has 5 career playoff games where he's recorded at least 30 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists in 35 minutes or fewer played. Think about that one. You know how many other players in history have that? Even more than one game like that? The only other player in NBA history with more than one game like that, 30, 10, and 5 in under 35 minutes, is LeBron James, who has 2. Now, he's a special player, Giannis. He does not have enough to get by the Nets. I'm sorry. They played Milwaukee cheap, this ownership group, when they let Brogdon walk out the door, because the importance of Brogdon's contract in a soft cap league is that you can use it to match up salaries in a trade when a guy becomes available, a superstar like, oh, I don't know, Chris Paul. Now, I like Jrue Holiday a lot. He ain't Chris Paul. Imagine the Bucks all of a sudden with Chris Paul, Giannis, and Middleton. You're feeling a little different about them now, aren't you? Because Jrue Holiday's a great defender against smaller guards. Bigger guys can cook them. It's the way it is. And he's a clutch player, so is Chris Paul. But Chris Paul's an MVP candidate. And by the way, I don't know if Chris Paul's enough. I don't know if Chris, like, if you had Chris Paul and Bradley Beal with Giannis and Middleton, now you can match up with Brooklyn. I know a lot of people like the Bucks. I think you're fooling yourself if the Nets are all healthy. But, you know, they should take care of the Heat. Let's see what Spoelstra does to adjust. Spoelstra has Tyler Hero buried on his bench. I mean, he's the third string guy. You have Kendrick Nunn. Why? Kendrick Nunn's not better than Tyler Hero. And then Dragic, and then Tyler Hero? You want Jimmy Butler? Like, he had a bad offensive game. You wanted to guard everyone? Everyone was hitting from the outside. But Spoelstra is a master at mid-series adjustments, and Budenholzer is not. This series is not over. Bilal, and is that your name in California? Did I say it right? Did they write it right?
Yes, sir. You nailed it.
Very good. Thank you. What's going on?
Matt, you know, first and foremost, I got to say, as a Warriors fan, I'm not a big fan of the play-in tournament, but I just wanted to ask, I need an honest opinion. Is Steph out of the MVP race because we lost that 8th seed to Memphis? Should we have even been there? Like, isn't it impressive enough that he took us to that?
No, I disagree. I think that what was impressive is the development of Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins shot better than he ever has from the outside. And he also became an above-average two-way player on a winning team. That's a really nice development. But you did have Wiggins, and for some time you had Oubre and you had some other guys, and you had Wiseman for a little while, and you had Draymond all year, who didn't score enough but was an all-world defender, as always. No, it's a little overstated. Like, I thought going into the year the Warriors didn't have enough shooting, ironically. The greatest shooter ever, and everyone else was under average for their position. But it didn't turn out that way. They shot better than I thought they would. They had enough to get by Memphis. And the reason, ultimately, they lost to Memphis, whether you like it or not, is because in the final 3 minutes and 30 seconds of overtime, win or go home, Steph Curry gave you 0 points, 0 assists, and 0 rebounds. What was it? What was his name from Animal House? 0.00. Remember his GPA? That was Steph's GPA in crunch time. 3 minutes, 30 seconds. Steph gave you a 0.00.
0.0.
Yeah. This is just what it is. I don't take any pleasure in that. I want to say, wow, Steph's clutch. I was saying, look what he did against Toronto in the finals. He's turned the corner. He hits big shots in the finals. Not just like takes defensive resources away from the other team. He's actually hitting shots. Nope. 4 minutes, 22 seconds. Game 7, fourth quarter, at home. 73 wins, about to be called the greatest team ever. Not a single point from your entire offense, and you lead it. Sloppy turnovers, everything. I don't know. Overtime, 3 minutes, 30 seconds, 0.00 for Steph. That's why he lost. It is what it is. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Will the Lakers roll out the same game plan in Game 2 tonight? Not according to one Laker. The Ultimate Fighter, the reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract, is back. Stream the season premiere on Tuesday, June 1st, only on ESPN+. You can also stream my show, The Max Kellerman Show, along with hours of daily sports talk. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. You're hitting me where I live there, Raj, with that one. Or Brendan. This is my favorite Outkast song, actually. How do you like that?
I just asked B, because you know B hates hip-hop, but he still wins on the trivia somehow. But I was like, you ever hear this song, B? He's like, no, never heard it, but it sounds kind of amazing, or not amazing, whatever you say. But this is the best one.
Yeah, this is my favorite Outkast song.
Hollywood, what is his name? Hollywood who?
What's that?
What did he say? He said Hollywood Cole.
Hollywood Cole, that's right. I can't, I have to be very careful when I repeat lyrics from certain songs. I'm like, oh. Yeah, fired for saying that on the air. Don't repeat that lyric. Andre Drummond says the Lakers will make adjustments required to win Game 2. Does it start with benching him, sending him to the bench? I think it does. I think Drummond should get a lot of minutes, but should, you know, AD, if you play him, let's say you play AD, you know, you need 48 minutes of, you know, production from your five spot, right? 48 minutes per position in a regulation game, doesn't go to overtime. And if you can get 28 from AD at the five, and then five or six more minutes at the four, right? Playing next to Drummond, but you can suck up 20. Drummond could take 20 minutes at least at the five off the bench, plus some minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, with AD in the game. You get a lot of production from the five spot. But the team functions much better with AD at the five. Andy B in Missouri, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's Max? I just want you to know you're the best, bro. You deserve to be paid more than any other person in broadcast.
Call. This is a tremendous call. You're off to a roaring start. What else, Andy B?
All right. Well, I mean, I thought I'd start with a compliment because I got a bone to pick with you. I know you didn't say that you thought that the Clippers were going to lose in the first round, but do you think that the Clippers are going to lose?
No,
because I think...
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Okay, I think that unless Doncic has a ridiculous run, I do not think the Clippers will lose again with Doncic playing the way that he did in Game 1.
Well, here's the thing. I disagree with that. I think they can lose again. Porzingis didn't play particularly well. Porzingis is capable of, you know, we saw him in the playoffs last year, 35 points and a bunch of boards, and Porzingis has some big games. Kleba and Dorian Finney-Smith are just the kind of role players you want on that team. Hardaway played well. No, they're capable of playing well, and last year they were the better team between them and the Clippers. The reason they lost is because in a game they were winning, they were clearly the better team. Porzingis had bad calls go against him on both sides of the floor on consecutive plays, complained, and then got bounced out of the game for no good reason. And so the Clippers won that game, a game I think they otherwise would have lost, and then Porzingis got hurt and the Clippers won those games. But when Porzingis was healthy, they would have beaten the Clippers. Remember, the Clippers were my pick to win the whole thing last year. They got bounced in the second round. They were fortunate not to get bounced in the first. I think I was lucky. Now, this season, the Mavericks are my dark horse. But just because they're my dark horse doesn't mean I'm picking them against the Clippers. I think Rondo on the Clippers will help steady the ship, and the Clippers should win a hard-fought series. But don't let Porzingis get going now. Andy B had a good strategy. You say nice things about me, and then I let you go a little bit more. Just the human nature. Kyle in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how's it going, man?
Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, so I was calling. Yeah, I'm in New York, but I'm a Nuggets fan.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling, curious, what will it take to get Jokic the same MVP respect as LeBron in the past? I was watching the show earlier. Appreciate you standing up saying the Nuggets got round one. But I'm curious, you know, I was watching TNT last night at halftime. They're showing the Nuggets lineup right now versus last year. Everyone's using it as a reason to say the Nuggets won't get past the Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Curious, what will it take for people to recognize that, you know, that Jokic has the
deep
kind of playoff
runs, deep playoff runs, because the history of the league is the actual MVPs. If they have other good players on the team, and while he doesn't have Jamal, listen, if they have Jamal Murray, given the Adam Gordon, the Aaron Gordon trade, and given the fact that Porter Jr. is coming along, maybe they get out of the West. Like, I thought the Gordon trade was huge, and you could see how well it worked early on. But without Jamal Murray, they're probably not going to make a very deep run. But normally, the greatest players in the game, if they I'm not talking about second-tier greats. Like, he's the eighth best player. I mean, you could argue he's the best in the game or a top three guy. Those guys make consistent deep playoff runs and win championships. That's what it'll take for Jokic to get the respect. I also think we saw Jokic's development from, oh, he's really good, to, oh, wait, he's great. Oh, wait, he's the best in the league this year. Not on a per-game basis. Harden was better and Embiid was better on a per-game basis. But those guys didn't play a full season. Jokic did. I think that's what it'll take from Jokic. He's going to have to make deep playoff runs, not just upset a team in the first round, you know, and then lose to the Lakers badly and get outplayed by AD. He's got to carry this team, especially if he can do it without Jamal Murray. They can win a couple of playoff series without Jamal Murray. Oh, Jokic will get the respect. And he's going to win MVP this year. He deserves it. Richard in Manhattan. Take us out, Richard, of our number one. Go ahead, Richard.
Max, Jokic is Nowitzki. Nowitzki could never win without Jason Kidd.
He's not Nowitzki. He's a much better passer than Nowitzki. Much better.
Same type of player, same ability, same skill set.
No, okay. That's wrong. Richard, you're usually right about stuff. He's not Nowitzki. Get out of here.
Havlicek. Okay. Trae Young.
Yeah.
Trae Young is Allen Iverson. The Knicks have to stop him. Totally.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Richard, you know, I got to say, even when I disagree with you, usually you make a lot of good points. Iverson couldn't shoot from the outside. Trae Young can. What do you like? Richard's off today. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
John Havlicek.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.